morning, TNC family. On this fourth Sunday in October, I want to talk today from the scriptures about how to live amid unpredictability, how to walk along uncertain paths, because life is unpredictable. I mean, if you had told me on my 18th birthday that by the time I'm 50, that I'd have lived longer in Atlanta, Georgia than in any other city in the world, I could not have predicted that. Or that I'd be such a huge Braves fan, because I didn't even grow up rooting for them. I grew up rooting against them. Or that I've officiated at over 100 weddings, taught at over 750 church services, taught over 2,000 piano lessons, that I have led prayers and cried tears beside dozens of grieving families and hospital wings, hospices at gravesides and funeral homes. I would not have predicted any of that. That I'd adopt a son one day and have a daughter in my first marriage, but then go through a divorce and live for a while with the suffocating weight of debt. I would not have predicted that. I also would not have predicted that I would later get remarried to an amazing, smart, wise, beautiful woman, my absolute best friend, with two sons of her own. If you had asked me to predict all of that I just mentioned on my 18th birthday, and dozens of other significant twists and turns, dozens that I have not mentioned, no way. Life is too unpredictable. And I know you could do a similar list of unpredictable twists and turns in your own life. And of course, I didn't even mention the big unpredictable unknowns like hurricanes, earthquakes, floods, drought, and other natural disasters. Unpredictable things that change lives forever. And then there's wars and pandemics, and there is an unexpected diagnosis, and sometimes an against all odds recovery. There's an unanticipated job loss, or sometimes it's the unexpected job offer. There's an injustice imposed on you by someone in power, or there's the seeming injustice of undeserved grace and forgiveness. There's the unpredictable stock market crash and the unpredictable windfall of money. There's the unexpected loss of a loved one and the unexpected introduction to a future best friend. Life is unpredictable. And amid all of this, TNC, you have to know that you were made to matter. Your life really counts. God has placed in you a desire and an ability to make a difference, to make an imprint, to leave this planet a little better than when you arrived, to walk a path in which creation flourishes a little more along the way because you walked it. This idea, of course, is inherent in the creation narrative of Genesis 1 and 2 and in the call of Jesus himself, Matthew 28, and in the great hope of Revelation 21 and 22. And so today, I want to talk to you about how to navigate, how to walk well along an unpredictable, uncertain path. And I want to do so using a metaphor used first by the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verses 103 through 107. It's a passage that links your unpredictable future with a very important but misunderstood lamp. Verse 108, the psalmist is speaking to God. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. When I follow your instructions, O God, I understand life and I hate false ways. Verse 105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Another translation there says, by your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my path. Verse 106, therefore, I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous ways. And then verse 107, yet I have suffered much. And from other translations, yet everything's falling apart on me. Yet I'm suffering, I'm afflicted, I'm troubled, I'm anxious, I'm worried. I feel like my life is a battle sometimes. And that's because, now listen, TNC, the lamp is not the path. The lamp is not the path. And I just said that twice because too many folks try to tell us that the lamp is the path. Oh, just follow God's light, they say, and you'll experience a predictable, full, productive, prosperous path. But no, that's simply not true. The lamp is not the path. Instead, what it is light for living and walking amid an unpredictable path. Verse 105, your word, O God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. The lamp is not the path, but it will shine light along our paths if we'll let it, if we'll pay attention. It will give us strength and wisdom for a very unpredictable journey. And so let me talk now for a few minutes about four areas to shine the light on in our lives that I believe will help us navigate the things we're facing now and the things that are ahead, the things that will for sure be unpredictable. Here's number one. Number one, shine the light on past patterns. Shine the light on past patterns. I'm saying in your life, take the time to evaluate the past. Or to quote the counsel of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 4 to a people he loves, quote, do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and do not let them depart from your heart all the days of your life. Even make them known to your children and grandchildren. A few years ago, Henry Cloud, the well-respected clinical psychologist, business consultant, and best-selling author, wrote a book called Never Go Back. Never Go Back, 10 Things You'll Never Do Again. It's based on decades of research following high performers around across a wide spectrum of fields, people that were truly fruitful, people who, whatever they put their hand to, it grew and flourished. And Cloud started noticing something about that group of people when he compared them to people who were not fruitful, not flourishing in business or relationships or athletics or family life. He found that they were pretty much, now listen, the same in terms of IQ and talent and backgrounds and past mistakes and current life issues and challenges, pretty much the same, except the fruitful group did something that the other groups did not do. The fruitful group, they see a pattern, and once they learn the lesson about the pattern, they go through a doorway and they never go back. Now, the Bible talks about this a lot in terms of the word repentance. Science and Cloud talks about this in terms of never going back. But in the book, Cloud tells the story of a guy who falls into the same hole over and over. The story is actually called My Life in 5 short chapters. Chapter 1, I went out for a walk and I fell into a deep dark hole and it took a long time to get out. Chapter 2, I went for a walk and I fell into a deep dark hole and it took a long time to get out. Chapter 3, I went out for a walk and I looked over and I accidentally fell into a deep dark hole. Chapter 4, I went out for a walk and I walked around that hole. Chapter 5, I took another path. And TNC, you have to know that patterns are hugely important. In fact, patterns are more important than potential. And so if you're considering, for example, being vulnerable with a friend don't think, oh man, they have the potential to keep this a secret. Ask what's their pattern. And if you're considering marrying somebody, don't look for potential, look for patterns. I'm saying potential is a bad reason to marry someone. Oh, because he has potential. Yes, but he also has a pattern of credit card debt. And you'd better figure out the pattern that created his debt, because his patterns may ruin your finances for the rest of your life. Or if you're an employer and you're considering giving an existing employee a promotion, shine the light on their patterns. Cloud writes, I was leading a group one day when a woman said, okay, I get it. I've had 9 abusive husbands and I'm not going to get another one. He says another woman spoke up and said, no, you haven't had 9. You've had 1 abusive husband with 9 different names. You always pick the same man over and over and over, she said, and you never ask why. And so this is the first area, TNC, to shine a light on. Along your unpredictable path, make sure you consider why you are where you are. What are the patterns, the decisions that have led you to be where you are? Some of you are in challenging relationships and you don't know yet how you got there. And if you'll figure out the patterns that led you to where you are, then you'll have hope for a different path moving forward. So, where are you physically, financially, emotionally, relationally? How did you get there? The psalmist says, your word, O God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. So shine the light on past patterns. Number 2, shine the light on your future ambitions. Shine the light on your future ambitions. Now, I know that word ambition is a tricky word. Some folks will say, oh, that's bad. Others say, nah, that's okay. And others will say, oh, it can be used for good. There's a Canadian-American philosopher and author, James K.A. Smith, who is currently a professor of philosophy at Calvin University in Michigan. We actually read one of his books a few summers ago called You Are What You Love during our summer reading series. But in 2019, he wrote a book called On the Road with St. Augustine, A Real-World Spirituality for Restless Hearts, where he describes the wisdom of St. Augustine around many topics. And now I want to read just a bit of what he says about ambition. Listen. Ambition is a many-splendored, much-maligned thing. Your take depends on what demons you're trying to exercise. If you are surrounded by prideful, power-hungry egomaniacs bent on making a name for themselves, ambition looks ugly, monstrous, and domineering. But if you're surrounded by placid, passive, go-with-the-flow, shucks folks who are leaving unused gifts on the table and failing to respond to their calling, then ambition looks like faithfulness. Sometimes ambition is ugly. Sometimes the critique of ambition is uglier, as when powerful white men worry that others, brown women say, are getting uppity. He goes on, the opposite of ambition is not humility. It is sloth, passivity, timidity, and complacency. We sometimes like to comfort ourselves by imagining that the ambitious, they're prideful and arrogant, so that those of us who never wish and never aspire, who never launch out into the deep, get to wear the moralizing mantle of humility. But this is just a thin cover for a lack of courage, even laziness. Wow. And now listen to this, still quoting. It is the telos, the goal, the purpose, it is the telos of ambition that distinguishes good from bad, separating faithful aspiration from self-serving aggrandizement. Augustine never stopped being ambitious, he writes. What changed was the target, the goal, the how of his striving. Augustine learned that resting in the love of God, does not squelch ambition. It fuels it with a different fire. Because God loves me unconditionally, I am now free to take risks and launch out into the deep. So TNC, your question and mine here is, when you shine the light on your hopes and dreams and ambitions, are they driven by a settled assurance of God's love for you and a desire to add beauty and love and joy to creation and to other humans along the path? Or are they driven by things like more money, more security, more likes, more adventures? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path, the psalmist says. So shine the light on your ambition. What is the goal of your ambition? And now number three. First, shine a light on your past patterns. Second, shine a light on your future ambitions. And now number three, shine the light on your present options. And here I want to focus on the letter S in that word options. Economist Russ Roberts, who is president of Shalem College in Jerusalem and a fellow at Stanford University, he writes about this in his new book. He calls it optionality. Optionality. It's the idea that you want to find and consider and try lots and lots of smaller risk things before making bigger commitments. And in the book, he talks about the NFL draft. Every year at the NFL draft, teams pick college players for their teams in reverse order of how their teams finished in the previous season. And teams, they will spend hundreds of hours preparing, poring over extensive data on hundreds of players. And they'll do personal interviews with players. And they'll watch hundreds of hours of film. And they use formulas to take into account the scouting combine, speed, agility, strength, intelligence tests. And they'll grade everybody and rank them and then pick accordingly. But here's the funny thing. It's a hugely inexact science. And Bill Belichick, who is considered perhaps the best coach ever in the entire NFL history, he's made famous an entirely different strategy for the draft, which is worry less about getting the exact right player with any one pick, and instead trade your highest draft pick for several lower draft picks. So choose lots of players and get them on your field at training camp and get lots of information that you could never get any other way except on the field with the rest of the team. And then just cut players no matter when you drafted them, no matter how high you drafted them, if they don't fit your team chemistry and goals and so forth. In other words, shine the light on as many options as possible. Elizabeth Gilbert, she says something very similar, but she frames it this way. She says, get curious every day. Don't wait for passion to strike once in a while. Jim Collins calls it, fire bullets before cannonballs. He talks about it like this. He says, imagine you're on a ship in the 19th century, and you have another ship bearing down on you, and you only have a certain amount of gunpowder, and you turn and you take all the gunpowder and you put it in one big cannonball and you fire at the ship and it misses, and then you turn and you're out of gunpowder. He says, or take a little bit of gunpowder and put it in a single shot and fire it out there and sort of like a bullet. Oh, it's 30 to 40 degrees off. But it's close. Fire another bullet, 30 degrees off. Another bullet, 20 degrees off. Another bullet, 10 degrees off. Ping! It's actually now hitting the side of the ship, and now I have a calibrated line of sight, and now I can take my gunpowder and now pack it into that cannonball and fire it along a calibrated line of sight. He writes, in life, people do not fire enough bullets along our paths. So TNC, here's the key. It's going to take some work, but figure out how to take more small risks. Shop more often, buy less often. Expand your friendship network. Never throw away a business card. Listen to a far greater variety of news sources. Read far more broadly. Increase your options at every turn. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So shine a light on as many options as possible. Which leads to number four. Number four, shine a light on who you admire. This is about who you look to, who you admire, the kind of person you allow to stir your emotions and activate your words and actions and posts. It reminds me of the great vision of Joshua chapter 3, when the people of God are journeying toward the promised land, and they are on the path toward a more hopeful but yet still uncertain future, and this is Joshua's counsel to them, verse 4. Keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between yourself and the ark. Don't go near it so that you can see the way to go, for you haven't traveled this way before. Now, the ark is a place where God's presence dwells, so it's a vision for letting God lead the way. This is about you staying in a position of following. This is about humility. This is about admiring and trusting the word of God. This is about trusting someone who is able to see what we can't see, who knows what we don't know. Now, think of it this way. At the most mundane level, it works like this. Your problems are only a problem if you're following the wrong person. A leaky faucet is not a problem if a qualified plumber is taking the lead. Sailing a sailboat isn't a problem if a qualified sailor is taking the lead. Hiking a trail is not a problem if you are following a guide who has been there before and knows the way. And Joshua wants the people to know that in life, the ways of God can be trusted, that God can see further and far greater than we ever could. And the call of your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path is a call to trust a God who can see what we cannot. One of my college friends, Eric, he lives in Fort Collins, Colorado now. He visited Atlanta last week, and so I got to spend some time together with him. We watched football, ate, caught up on a lot of things. And living in Fort Collins, he said, allows him to take trips, hiking and camping and so forth, into places very remote, places in Utah and Wyoming and so forth. And he told me that on a cloudless night, when you're far away from civilization, you see literally thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of stars that you would never see in any other environment, even shooting stars. Now, of course, in a city like Atlanta, all the light pollution keeps the visible number of stars down to only a couple hundred, even on the clearest of nights. But, and here's my point, that doesn't mean the stars are not there, even when you can't see the stars. They're still there. Even in the daytime, for that matter, when you look up, you're technically looking at all of the stars, even if your eyes can't perceive all you're seeing because of the sun. In fact, the right telescope or other lens will prove it to you. The stars are right in front of you, hidden in plain sight. You just need the right lens to see them. Now, this is what the psalmist is getting at in verse 103. We do not see all there is, TNC. We can't see all that's ahead. But there is one, the psalmist says, who does see deeper and further and longer and truer and better. And that one is worthy of our trust and worthy of our devotion and worthy to be our leader. We can put his words into practice and find them to be true over and over and over. And so, when we're not sure of our next step, we can look to the one, Revelation 1:8 tells us, who was and is to come. The one who says, Psalm 23, even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you can fear no evil, for I am with you. The one who says, Matthew 28, Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. The one who says, John 14, I go ahead to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. So TNC, let's shine the light on our past patterns, our future ambitions, our present options, and on the one who was and is to come. Let's pray. God, I pray now for every person listening. I pray that they would find great confidence and hope and peace in you, because our paths are not always predictable and they are certainly not trouble-free. But you are the one who offers your presence and peace and wisdom along our journey. And God, I pray that we would be a church family that strongly supports one another as we do the work of shining the light on the past and the future and the present, and as we together follow you. So help us to be a church that loves one another well and that extends grace and faithfulness to each other well, as together we follow you. You are our author and the finisher of our faith. Now, TNC, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.